What? There's another eclipse? What is going on with this new moon in Sag? Hello, everyone. This is Irliana Samsara, Star Sound Speaks, starsoundastrology.com, and this is episode 285. So, in this video, I'm going to talk about this weird eclipse, not the sun and the moon. So, I'll tell you about that. And I'll also tell you, of course, about the new moon. And then the third part, where this occurs in your chart. You can listen for either your sun or your rising sign. For those of you who don't know me, welcome to the channel. My name's Irliana, and I practice traditional astrology, also known as Hellenistic astrology, blended with modern, and I use whole sign houses. Okay, so what are we talking about with this eclipse thing? There is this asteroid that's going to pass in front of Betelgeuse, not Michael Keaton, not Betelgeuse. This fixed star called Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. This asteroid's going to pass in front of Betelgeuse, and it's going to produce a very rare eclipse. So this fixed star, Betelgeuse, is going to be eclipsed by a passing asteroid called Leona, like the lion. And it's going to be visible to millions. This is going to happen late Monday into early Tuesday. There's a very narrow path, but you'll be able to see it if you happen to be living in Tajikistan or Armenia or Turkey, Greece, Italy, Spain. It will pass over to Miami. People in the Florida Keys will be able to see it and parts of Mexico. Now, here's the deal. Normally, in an eclipse, it could be 2 or 3 minutes or 4 minutes, but this is only going to be like 15 seconds. So you can't be running out to grab a cup of tea while you're waiting for the. It's going to be on and off, but it's interesting. And if you look at the mythology of Betelgeuse, it's going to give us there's some insight here, and I really feel it's very deeply connected. Nothing happens without a reason, right? As we know. And so this is an interesting thing, and I'm going to tie it into this new moon. So Betelgeuse is, oh, I'll just call it Betelgeuse. It grew up in the 80s. Betelgeuse, it's a red supergiant star, and it's in the constellation of Orion. Orion is the hunter. You might be familiar with Orion's belt. Asteroid Leona is a very slow rotating space rock that is in the asteroid belt. Many people believe that that was the pieces of Maledek, this planet that blew up between Mars and Jupiter, where it broke up, and it's rotating and it's kept in place there by Jupiter's magnetic force. But not to get into all that, but just that's where Leona is. This is going to pass in front of Betelgeuse. They're not sure if it's going to be a ring of fire eclipse or a total eclipse. An eclipse is an eclipse. Pay attention. The last time it dimmed its light, it happened right before the pandemic. This cloud of gas, it's this like dying supernova, and the cloud of gas was emitted into 2020 and it kind of dimmed it down. Now the light has come back up, but it's interesting because here we are at this critical juncture and it's getting eclipsed by this asteroid. So for 15 seconds, it's going to disappear. So why should we care? Well, in Greek mythology, it's about a hunter who's very boastful and it speaks to a downfall. One version is that Orion boasted that he could kill all the animals on Earth. And Gaia, the Earth goddess, was very upset and sent a giant scorpion to defeat Orion. And so they were placed in the sky as constellations, but they're on opposite sides to avoid confrontation. The Betelgeuse star is actually the shoulder of the Orion constellation. So it's this image, if you've seen these antique prints, it's like this big giant, hunter, and his arm is up. He's got a club in his hand. So that shoulder is his club, and you see this like dead animal, like a lion. Interesting that they show a lion, and asteroid Leona is coming by to eclipse this whole thing. Maybe it's the universe saying, maybe it's time to start slaughtering for well, animals for one thing. And then just look at the world right now with all this genocide going on in the Middle East and Ukraine and other places. Yemen. Nobody ever talks about Yemen in the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, but that has been gone for years. So there's a lot here to deal with. So it might be just a way for the universe to get our attention, especially because it's going to be exactly opposite, not by degree, but zodiacally. Betelgeuse is 29 degrees of Gemini. The new moon is at 20. So it's like, hey, there's this confrontation that we need to deal with. Orion's right shoulder, Betelgeuse is typically. It's considered as a fixed star, an unfortunate fixed star. It's often associated with military success, but great fortune and fame, but also calamities and danger and violence. So it's maybe saying, what cost? At what cost? Pyrrhic victory from Greek mythology. Yeah, you quote won, but who really won? Who profits? Who profits from all this misery? Good question to ask. With the sun in Sag, new moon in Sag, this is about cosmic consciousness and the big picture and our spiritual beliefs and philosophical questioning. So with Sag season, we have been questioning. We always look at that big picture. Here is the new moon, this new beginning. There's a lot of things to ponder here. Okay, so that's the Betelgeuse eclipse. By the way, Betelgeuse is 700 times the size of our sun. So if you can imagine, if we replace the sun with Betelgeuse, if you think of it like a basketball would be Betelgeuse, and our sun would be like the size of a pinhead. So I think, yeah, you know what? It's 15 seconds, but look, the universe is always speaking to us. So let's pay attention. A new moon is always bringing a new beginning, right? When the sun and the moon are lined up at the same degree of the zodiac, this is 20 degrees Sag, new ventures, new adventures, and a new beginning with hope and optimism and goodwill and abundance and expansion of consciousness, expansion of spiritual beliefs, philosophical beliefs and contemplation can also rule cultures like foreign cultures and foreign travel. So all of these things are wrapped up, baked into a new moon in Sag. Which brings us to the second part of this chat, and that is the particular features. Here it is for Washington, D.C. It's Tuesday, December 12th. So this is going to be happening in the sixth house of Washington, D.C. The sixth house is not an easy house. It's one of the difficult houses. It has to do with the workplace. It has to do with workers. It also addresses one's health and well-being. As you can see, it is co-present with Mars. The two big things here, here's Betelgeuse, by the way, 29 degrees in the bounds of Saturn. And so there's something about being curious and open-minded, and maybe there's a new path to take about not being this conquering, you know, when you think about the here's Orion the hunter clubbing this poor animal. Let's maybe reconsider this. Let's be open-minded and look and see how can we restructure our beliefs here. Move our consciousness forward. That Mars in Sag is very brave. It's like, let's set some big picture goals, right? Sag is always about the big picture, the big cosmic picture. And what is my truth? Well, darn it, I'm gonna find out, man. I'm like the archer, the Sagittarian archer shooting his arrow into the heavens. And Mars being co-present is like, yeah, man, like let's put some muscle behind this. Okay. Wonderful to be passionate about spiritual search. However, there are some caveats here. It's squaring Neptune. The new moon is making a square to Neptune, as we can see here, at 24 degrees of Pisces, and it will come into an exact square a few days later. This would indicate that, yes, we want to be actively engaged and curious and boundless in our enthusiasm, but we also have to be honest with ourselves, and knowing facts and truth might be a little bit difficult. It might be some confusion. There might be something about getting over some with Neptune and Pisces. You know, there's some maybe fantasy beliefs or not being clear about what we really want. So there's that dynamic square, that dynamic tension that's going on. This particular new moon, there is an antitia with Mercury. And what does that mean? Antitia is a term, it's from traditional or Hellenistic astrology. It was lost to modern astrology, but of course, with Project Hindsight, all of these terms and understandings and knowledge has been resurrected for our current world. Antitia, it's like a secretive conjunction. So if you imagine, it's a relationship between two points in the zodiac, and they're positioned around the Cancer Capricorn the solstitial axis, right? So if you, let's say, for example, you picture a lake and you see the sun shining over the lake, and then this the reflection of the sun in the lake, right? So they're mirroring each other, right? The water is mirroring the position of the sun in the sky. So that's really like antitia. There's a mirrored connection, and there's a hidden or subtle influence that's not readily observable to the eye. So It's these points are equally equidistant from each other, so it creates this kind of cosmic symmetry. And there's kind of an intercon it suggests an interconnectedness, and there's relationships that, again, that might not be immediately obvious, but this is going to definitely play a role in this new moon. So it's another way of looking at it, and it's a subtle energy. And so with this particular new moon in, as you can see here is Mercury and here is the Sun. And if you add these up, it comes to about 30 degrees. So 29 degrees. So it's very close to the Santisha, which we'll move into right after that new moon. And what might that suggest? Well, Mercury is already stationary. A few hours later, he goes into retrograde, like the next day. So that would suggest there is something about maybe there's definitely a revisiting about our connections, our relationships, especially with authorities, governments, society, politicians, everything Capricornian in our own lives. It would be where our voice, Mercury is our thinking mind and how we listen and express ourselves to others, especially as are we in our power? Are we our own authority, or do we give our authority over to someone else? Especially with that new moon squaring Neptune, to me that suggests a lot of this, like a self-styled guru we might fall under the spell of, and we get wrapped up in giving our power away to some spiritual teacher and who's hypocritical, and that doesn't walk their talk. And so, finding that the truth of that, and it might be difficult to find, but with Mercury going retrograde in Capricorn, there is definitely an opportunity here to see things that we might not have seen in the normal everyday life. When Mercury goes retrograde, it's like Mercury's on a journey. He's not slogging through, primary motion, secondary motion, slogging through the heavens. He starts to, from our perspective, move backwards. So he's in primary motion with the Sun. So this idea of looking at this ourselves in a more spiritual, long-term, long picture look, maybe it's about our goals and what we want to achieve with our careers. How do we see ourselves as in vis-a-vis authorities? Maybe it's about having really important conversations to revisit and review with our bosses, or if we're in a workplace, or if we are the CEO or somebody who has employees. It's about, making these connections and exploring conversations that, maybe need to be had, and clearing the air and discerning things. Maybe there's some secrets that have get revealed. Mercury retrograde is always, no matter what sign it's in, there's always this consideration about things coming to the surface, depending, of course, where it is in your chart. It will be the area of your life where you'll see things differently. You'll take that walk up the mountain, the Capricornian goat who climbs the mountain, this craggy little peak with their hooves on. You ever see those mountain goats? They stand on this little tiny piece of rock looking out over this big expanse, and it's a hard climb. But when you get there, you're willing to put in that discipline and focus, you will get a really great review about where you stand, what your thoughts are, big picture, thinking long term. Mercury's typically da, 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 running around like Grand Central Station at rush hour. But Mercury in Capricorn is asking us to look at the big picture. What do we really want to achieve? What are our long-term goals? What are we willing to make a sacrifice or a commitment to? Discipline, structure, focus regarding career. Of course, in the collective, it's like, what kind of government do you want? And what needs to go in order to bring that about? And how can we take responsibility and restore integrity, especially to our conversations and the way in which we speak to each other? I mean, my God, Congress is just, I can't even go there. It's like people, like, once that guy was ready to like punch the other guy out a few weeks ago with this congressional investigation and hearings, and these people practically got into fisticuffs. It's like, yeah, it's a good thing Mercury's going retrograde. Let's rethink this. and in our own lives, you know, where are we feeling this and this with that more with superiority that the shadow side of this new moon would be, you know, where are we feeling morally superior? Where are we feeling arrogant? Where do we feel we have a sense of entitlement or that we're gonna Marsy, you know, on that overcoming square root Neptune? Well, I'm gonna impress my beliefs on somebody who's maybe confused, and I'm gonna and my way or the highway. And you know, that's some and some delusions that can come up when all of these archetypes are about to be engaged for this full moon, a new moon. Sorry. I always confuse them. Why do I always say full moon when it's a new moon? I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, that is just some things to consider. Let me see what else I have here. So there's that intisha with Mercury. The quest for truth can be confusing. There might be some craftiness or underhandedness or some maybe some agreements or secret agreements that come up that get revealed. I would say too, this is definitely good things to do in this new moon is reassess with your boss if you have a boss or dealing with authority figures. Look at those the big picture, look at the long-term goals, the ability to see where have I not been speaking with authority? Where have not been my own boss, my the CEO of my life? And of course, Saturn being forward again in Pisces, the ruler. Oh, the light just flashed. Ooh, okay. See, there's a good plant sign. My light flickered on again. No, you're not willing to come. Okay, fine. I don't know. Maybe it's one of the ancestors here. They talking to me, bringing everybody here. Anyway, so yeah, I would say speaking with authority, revisit, and you know, with Saturn, the ruler of this Mercury retrograde, it stops 8 degrees in Capricorn. It goes back to 22 Sag. It starts in the in Saturn ruled Capricorn, and Saturn is going forward in Pisces. So there's this great examination long term about what is the ideal life and what is the structure of my life? What would the ideal situation look like? So this is a really great this. Christmas season, you know, it's Mercury will go direct January 1st. So this is a great time to be having these deep conversations. I would also say too, with Saturn in Pisces and Saturn being the traditional ruler of death and Pisces, the dissolution of reality, material form, this might be a good time to have conversations around end of life matters. I know it's like, who wants to hear about that in the Christmas season? But hey, look, you know, wills and estates and whatever. Retirement, aging, you know, these are like having real conversations and stepping back, going up to that mountain, sitting there, looking at the big picture. You're away from the world. You're able to think more clearly, have some deep insights. I would also, what would we say? Prayer time. Okay, so where can we focus our prayers this month? Well, I would say certainly praying for, I don't like this particular with that square to Neptune in terms of our health. You know, it's flu season again, the winter time in the northern hemisphere. We might see things spreading. We want to be really diligent and careful around our health for sure. Flu season infections, you know, Neptune rules infections and viruses and such. And so with Mars and Sag, it could be a very intense, rapid spread of that. I hate to bring it up. I know, but hey, look, we are in charge and we can create a very powerful, strong immune system and all of the things we need to do to stay healthy. So I would say take great care with that because it we don't certainly don't want to have to ever deal with what we already have been through these last few years. But anyway, the choice is ours of where we want to put our power. I would say too, with Mars in that square, Mars will move into that square with Neptune. And so with Mars in that square, that can also reveal, that could also be unfortunately, maybe some accidents or something, or maritime difficulties, maybe with traveling or traveling overseas. Last time Mars was squaring Neptune was earlier in the year, and there was this drone that went down in the Baltic Sea, and there was this problems with Russia, and there was like this whole kerfuffle, what I don't know, whatever that word is. Oh, my light went on. All right. So, yeah, I would say for sure those people making those dangerous voyages on over sea and land, especially over the seas. I think about those people in like the Mediterranean. You always hear about those boats capsizing. It's like, oh man, just yeah, my heart goes out to those people. So, really praying for some divine grace with those situations. Okay, let's see. We might also see some maybe religious or clerical abuse coming to the surface with that new moon in Sag with the square with Neptune. So maybe there was some, in hypocrisy and some cover-ups around religious abuse of power. Just something to consider as well. Definitely about coming, being brave and maybe speaking one's truth as later in the month, as I said in the December astrology, Mars is going to hook up with the galactic center, 26 degrees, 33 minutes of Sag. And that's the whistleblower point. So we might be seeing when we speak our truth, it will certainly have a very powerful impact. We just don't want to be right about it, right? We have our truth, but that truth is not right. Ooh, big distinction. Your truth is your truth, but there is no right truth, because if there is, then there's a wrong truth, and you want to get out of that polarity. Just anything that you have to really be careful about with Sag archetype is this moral superiority of whatever. You can blame somebody else, but this ends up you're saying the same thing, so right. Anyway, something to be aware of. And now we're going to just walk through the houses. So in Aries, if you have Aries rising, this new moon is going to be in your ninth house of spirituality, and that would be le travel, spirituality, legal matters, spiritual and philosophical beliefs. So there's maybe some new beginnings regarding courageousness and speaking truth around and exploring with Mars there, a gallant, brave exploration of spiritual beliefs. The square is going to be coming from Neptune in the 12th house. So maybe we're confronting some delusions we've had around ourselves. Maybe what are the ideal states of consciousness? And maybe there's addictions and codependency that get in the way and that get to be uncovered. And so where we have been kidding ourselves, where have we been sabotaging ourselves? Something to be considering. Taurus, this is going to be in your eighth house. So the eighth house is about shared resources. The resources of one's spouse or business partner. So there's some new beginnings in that area. Neptune is going to be squaring from, it'll be making that square to Neptune in the 11th house, which is about our friends and colleagues and groups and group organizations. So maybe it's asking us to explore where have we been deceiving ourselves with the people we've been hanging out with our friends, with our colleagues, with groups. What kind of knowledge can we share that is going to make a difference? And where have we been maybe, could be escapism too, something that we're not willing to look at regarding the people that we hang with. For Gemini risings, you guys are having this in your seventh house. So seventh house is one-to-one relationships, whether it's a business partner, marriage partner, clients. So there's some new truths and new ventures waiting for you in that area of your life. Going to have this is angular for you guys, so that you're looking at maybe deception and fraud and versus the ideal, what kind of career do I want to have? How is this going to impact my career, where I'm not deceiving myself, where I'm seeing things clearly? Again, with that square, it's not always going to be easy to see. But your career and your public reputation, 10th house. Cancer rising, you've got this new moon in your sixth house, which rules your workplace, your health, and daily, health and patterns and daily routine. Third house is also daily routine, but the sixth house is, your day job. So there's maybe some new ventures and new brave, new bold, new ventures that you want to undertake in your workplace. And again, with that Mercury and Tisha, with maybe you want to have a strong, powerful, truthful conversation with your boss, or if you are a boss, to have that open conversations and open channel of communication with your coworkers and or employees. And that would be with that square to the square to Neptune in your ninth house. So, we're looking at our beliefs, our spiritual beliefs. What is the truth for us? Perhaps also some legal matters. Leo rising, this is in your fifth house of creative projects and children. And so undertaking some bold new romantic gestures or maybe some new projects with children and undertaking new creative beginnings, new beginnings in that area. And the square is going to come from the eighth house. So that would involve shared resources. And where are we kidding ourselves around how much or how do we share? And all of that is going to be coming up into is going to be kicked up, right? So the square with Neptune in the eighth, maybe some deceptive financial schemes that thought looked really great, but under the surface, we find the truth is like not what we imagined it would be. Virgo rising, this is going to be in your fourth house of home and family, and Neptune will be squaring from the seventh. So matters of home and family and the people that we collaborate with and work with or are partners, there's some dynamic engagement involved there. Finding one's truth. Libra rising, this is going to be in your third house. The third house is about your local community. It's about learning and listening and lower levels of elementary education, certainly learning, sharing, learning, networking. So there's some new beginnings around there. And that's going to be in a square with Neptune in the sixth. So let's not kid ourselves around self-care and our health and maybe finding an ideal. Considering what is the ideal workplace, what kind of working conditions in which I want to start these new ventures. Scorpio rising, this is going to be in your second house. So that will be with a square to Neptune in the fifth house. So, second house is our own self-worth, it's our values, the possessions, our financial money in the bank, our own personal finances, the things that we value very deeply. So, there's maybe a new beginning, a new place that we look at our what is the truth around what is important to us, and where we find that fifth house is would be regarding our ability to feel and experience pleasure. Fifth house pleasure. Bold new self-image. Yay. That will be for Sag risings. And so I would say too with Scorpio, there could be some ideal situations that are calling forth not only regarding pleasure, but children and creative projects. For Sag risings, this is going to be in your first house. So that's a bold new self-image. And it's going to be making a square to Neptune in the fourth house. So that would involve situations with family members and maybe creating what is the ideal family situation and where am I kidding myself? Where are there any areas that I'm deceiving myself about my family that I need to like get back in integrity with? Capricorn rising, this is going to be in your 12th house. This is the joy of Saturn. So this is a deeply contemplative house. It is the most contemplative. It is the house of monasteries and ashrams and contemplation and hermits and solitude. And so this is a bold new quest into these areas, maybe pondering our philosophical truth or spiritual truths or divine truth and expansion of consciousness in this quiet solitude. And with a square to Neptune in the third, am I being a savior martyr? Do I feel like I have to be, I'm Jesus and I'm going to save you kind of thing? You have to be really careful with that 12th house. It can be very delusional. You want to help people, but then there's help and then there's enabling. So we have to be like really careful there and really honest with ourselves. And that honesty might not be easy to access, especially with the third house ruling siblings. And cousins and in-laws and neighbors and people in our local community, or just the our relations, extended family, this sense of maybe moral superiorities that we have to watch out for. Third house is also about writing, one's daily routine and one's writing. So those are areas also that could be potentially impacted. Aquarius, you've got the 11th house. Neptune is squaring it in the second. So the 11th house is a bold new beginning with self-improvement and improving ourselves and maybe finding groups and organizations that are very spiritually focused that are all about self-improvement and expansion of consciousness. So friends and groups and allies in groups, group organizations, our hopes, wishes, and dreams are all very tied in. So Aquarius rising, this is an area where you're going to be expanding and new beginnings with new groups of friends. It's going to square Neptune in the second. So there, it's asking us to really take a really bold look at where our finances and values may be drained or not feeling in alignment. There may be some illusion, delusion that we need to get over and work out regarding the things that are important to us. And the last one is Pisces. This is going to be in your 10th house. It's angular. It's a new beginning with your career, 10th house career, public reputation. And Neptune will be in the first house. So it's saying, okay, great, great to have a new career, but look at yourself. Certainly, it speaks to an improvement of one's self-image with you as a creative. I would say, I think about Pisces rising, this creative, compassionate, bhakti person that you are. You got Saturn going through that first. You are majorly restructuring over the next couple of years, getting serious about your spiritual path. And I would think with 10th house, it's going to be involving career changes and new beginnings regarding your career. And so your career and self-image are very actively engaged. Okay, that's all for now. We'll of course do a full moon one, December, the day after Christmas, full moon 20 on December 26th. The sun will be still have that secret of conjunction, but I'll save that for that conversation. The sun's going to still be in an Antitia, but this time the sun's in Capricorn and Mercury and Mars are in Sag. So there's a it's very dynamic, but we'll save that for another time. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this information and found it useful. And please do like, share, subscribe. It's always great. And we love hearing from you. So please do share if you feel to. And if you know anyone who could use this information, very grateful for your shares. And we'll see you soon. Okay, this is Irliana Samsara, Star Sound Speaks, starsoundastrology.com. Thank you all for listening. Namaste.